Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Move over, boogeyman. There's a new terror of the night. These subscribers sent in some truly creepy and allegedly true experiences with what they claim to be skimwalker creatures. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. So glad to see you made it for another episode. What's that outside your window, you might be asking? Scratching to get in? Mimicking your voice? Mimicking voices of your loved ones? These creatures seemingly are everywhere these days, and are haunting everyone and everything. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be an experience with a skimwalker or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, let's get in to these creepy stories that'll keep you up tonight. Oh, and be sure to lock your door and look over your shoulder, 'cause something might be lurking just behind you. My apologies, because I'm definitely not a writer, so I'm just going to try to tell you my story exactly how it happened. And if you have any answers or explanations, please let me know. For some basic background information, I'm 16 and I live in the western United States, and I am active in rodeo. This happened in late winter. My brother and a close friend, who for the sake of the story we will call T, got permission from a local reservation to use their arena to practice roping. We got there early in the morning, so we would have all the time we needed. Now, mind you, my brother's horse and T's are both very even-tempered, and don't spook very easily. My mare, on the other hand, will panic at the littlest of things. She can be a handful most of the time, to be quite honest. Since the moment we got there, all of our horses seemed to be on edge. We shrugged it off and figured once they got to know their surroundings a bit more, they should be fine. After spending the better part of the day throwing ropes and chasing cattle, we decided to go for a ride on the trail and explore the area. By now, the horses seemed to have calmed down quite a bit. There is a river that ran close to the arena, so we decided to go explore down and check down to the river and give the horses a drink. Once we got about 30 yards away from the water, we could smell what could only be described as a rotting dead animal. Then something in the tree line caught the attention of all the horses, and after that, mine flat out refused to go any further. Being tired from a long day and frustrated by my horse's lack of cooperation, we all decided to call it a day. By this time, it was too late to load our gear and horses and take them back, so we decided it was just best to leave them there for the night and stay at T's because she lived closer to my brother than I. We got their stalls ready for the night, got them fed and watered, and headed over to one of T's family friends who offered to cook us dinner. After some good food, good laughs, and a few good games of pool, the weird encounter by the river was out of mind. When 9 o'clock rolled around, we all wanted to get some sleep, but I wanted to check on the horses one last time before we left, and when I mentioned this to T, his family friend warned me not to go there alone at night, Wanting to respect that, T offered to drive down with me. We got in the truck and headed back to the arena. It was only about a half a mile drive, but the road was very icy, so we had to drive slower than what I thought would have, you know, been possible, to be honest. Before crossing the bridge that went over the river, this feeling of dread hit me like a ton of bricks. I looked out the window just to be met with those glowing yellow eyes I will never forget. They are hard to describe. There was not enough light hitting them to make them glow the way they did. I am normally a very rational person, but something in my gut told me that this thing was very wrong. That's when T turned to me and said, "Do you smell something bad, or is it just me?" At that point, I hadn't even noticed anything, honestly. When I didn't respond, she looked at me, then met my gaze just to see the same yellow-eyed glare that I was fixated on. We were both in terror, not knowing what this thing was. Where it sat, it looked like it could have been at least 8 feet tall, and there are no animals in their parts that large. I finally came to my senses and hit the gas, and our truck started sliding. But we caught traction and made our way back to the arena. When we pulled up, the headlight hit the horses. The very first thing I noticed was my mare hadn't even touched her food, and for her, that's very out of the ordinary, because she's kind of a pig and normally eats more than her fair share. The other two hadn't eaten either, which again we found very odd, but being scared and cold, we got back in the truck and drove back without incident. We got to T's at about 11, and as soon as our heads hit the pillows, we were out like a light. All of a sudden, I woke up to my brother grabbing my arm and shaking me. I asked him what was wrong. He just put his finger over his mouth and pointed to the window. There was a tapping on the glass, and occasional scratching. I looked at the clock and it was 3 a.m. T and I hadn't told him about our encounter on the bridge, but it was late and I wasn't going to tell him now and scare him even more. Trying to be rational, I told him just to ignore it and try to get some sleep, but knowing what had happened, I was convinced it was the thing from the reservation and it had followed us back. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night, and as soon as the sun was up, I woke up T and my brother so we could go get our horses and get home, because I wanted my poor girl out of there and no longer with that thing. I told T about the tapping and scratching, so after coffee we went to look by our window for tracks, and sure enough, there was what looked like deer hooves, but they didn't track like normal deer. It was as if it was bipedal. This spooked us, but we just wanted to go see if our horses were okay, so we headed back to the reservation. They were all fine, but the food and water were still untouched. We got loaded up and out of there as fast as we could. As we drove over the bridge one last time, I looked into the tree line just to see a massive buck staring at me. He was large, and I mean unnaturally large. Very, very sickly looking though at the same time. His skin was just falling from his bones, and his legs bent the wrong way. That wasn't even the worst part though. His face. Those same ungodly yellow eyes. But when I made eye contact, I swear this thing, whatever it was, smiled at me with the most sickening smile I'd ever seen, with those yellow, pointed teeth. I've never really believed in the paranormal or humanoid creatures before, but when I was 16, I and my close friend used to love to hunt. Now, we lived in Texas, and this had to be around October or so. We were in a hunting stand that my friend and his dad built a few months back. We were sitting up there. It had to be around 10 p.m. We had two rifles and were hunting wild hog that is very overpopulated in the area. Plus, they were digging holes in my friend's yard and uprooting everything. My friend's yard was around 4 acres and had 2 ponds. One was on the side of his house and the other was in the very front. So, we were in the hunting stand, and this was located to the back left of the upper front pond, closest to the house. We were sitting there, staring at some clearing at the very back of the yard behind the pond, waiting for some hogs to come to the feeder about 80 feet in front of the stand. When we finally saw what we thought was a deer. We soon found out, though, this was not a deer, but something very, very wrong. On our rifle, we had infrared flashlights. They shined red, and if you didn't know, most animals can't see infrared. Shining these lights at the clearing, we saw what we thought was a deer, but legally we weren't allowed to shoot at them because it wasn't deer season, so we waited for it to pass. But it just stood there, looking at us, like it was fixated on me. Then, the absolutely unthinkable happened. The deer stood up on its hind legs. Me and my friend were shocked and started yelling. That wasn't a good idea. This thing screeched in what could only sound like a metallic yell. My hair stood up on the back of my neck as this thing sprinted at us with a sort of zigzag type of formation. Without hesitation, I pointed my rifle at it and fired two shots, one of which I believed hit the thing. It fell on its back, catching itself, allowing me to properly see it. This creature was pure gray. It looks extremely skinny. And the main reason we thought it was a deer was because of the rack of antlers on its head. In this few seconds of time, I seemed to be able to get a very good look at this thing, as everything seemed to be moving in very slow motion. When the creature got its bearings again, it hightailed it back into the woods, screeching that same metallic screech. Now, if anyone knows what this could be, please let me know. I would love to know. I'm still scared to go in that yard anymore past dark. My older cousin Ray told me about some experiences he's had with what he believes to be skinwalkers. We are both Apache, but he has some Navajo blood in him. About 13 years ago, he was a part of a church group that drove to various locations with pastors. He said on this one trip into the Navajo reservation is when he had one of his first skinwalker experiences. He was with a pastor, and her, along with my cousin, had just got done attending a meeting at a church that was on a dirt road some long distance away from the nearest paved main road. He said it was sometime in the night, and the service was over. They made their way back to the vehicle. Driving off, he noticed that the pastor was speeding incredibly fast down the rugged road, going almost 50 and not saying anything to Ray. The pastor was usually very talkative and vibrant on drives, but this was something he's never seen from her. Then she told him, "Don't look out the windows, look straight ahead." He became uneasy and confused as to why she had told him to do this, but he just did as she asked. Ray knew that they were coming up to the end of the dirt road soon and tried to keep calm till they got there, especially with how fast they were going. Then suddenly, he noticed something outside his passenger window. Ray said he tried to keep his eyes focused forward, but when he couldn't help but glance, then he saw something that he couldn't understand. He paused and told me, "I saw a dog. The dog was huge, gray as brown, and running right alongside me." He knew they were driving almost 60 now, but this creature was able to keep up with them. Without even 2 seconds passing since he looked at it, the dog's eyes glanced at him and made eye contact. Ray was scared stiff, and then the creature quickly turned directly facing him. Ray got the ugliest chills as the dog carved out the most curved, human-like ear-to-ear smile with the widest owl-eyed stare. All this as the dog continued to run alongside the vehicle. Then, as they hit the main road, the creature suddenly shot back and disappointed into the night. Ray and the pastor drove quietly, and the silence broke when she asked, "You saw it, right?" Ray quietly responded, "Yeah, I did." She calmly told him that that's not the first time that's happened when she has visited this area. She said that whenever she's out here, she dries fast. And as the elders always say, don't look at the windows or in the mirrors when you drive at nightfall. I'm a 21-year-old man from Denmark. Back in 2017, I was going on a vacation road trip in the United States. We started off in Las Vegas, where my mom visited an old woman she lived with for a year, back when she was 16 and an exchange student. We then drove to LA, then Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and finally Louisiana. I am, and I was, very into true scary stories. I especially enjoy cryptid and unexplained creatures and skinwalkers and Wendigo stories. And I told my family all about it, but my sister and her boyfriend teased me about believing in such things. My dad doesn't believe in God or superstitious things or anything like that, but has had some strange things happen to him. So he is a little more open-minded, which my mom also is because she has experienced some paranormal stuff. When we were driving through the deserts of Arizona, my dad had to have a smoke, and we wanted to stretch our legs. We got out of the car, and my dad started smoking, and we looked around. Suddenly, my sister says, "What is that?" and pointed towards the desert, where we immediately noticed a lion-sized, totally black cat-like thing, absorbing all the light. It was just walking. It had a really long and thick tail. It walked so freaking weird, like it was a robot. Just totally stiff. When it noticed us, it froze and turned its head really fast and just stared. Then its body slowly turned, without moving its head, and started walking out into a different direction. Then I said that we should probably get into the car and start moving, because I wasn't staying around waiting for that thing to reach us. My family quickly agreed, and we hurried up to take off. Then, for the rest of the trip, my sister's boyfriend and my sister didn't tease me about unexplained creatures anymore. We were really agitated by this thing. I started to Google search about animals that live in Arizona, and I couldn't find anything as big as a feline that black, or big, anywhere in the world. The only big cats I could find were jaguars, and it's rare that they get black, and they don't really get all that dark. It was also much larger than a jaguar. Jaguars, cougars, and mountain lions live in forested areas and definitely not in the middle of dirt and cacti. I still think about this a lot, and I've never found an answer to what this was, and I believe even more now that there are creatures in this world that we don't know about. So I have been kind of wanting to share my creepy encounters and experiences for a while, but what my sister told me a few days ago made me want to share this possible skinwalker encounter. I'm Native American, and so is my father and siblings. My mom has very little, but there is some. We aren't involved with any tribes, but I do enjoy looking, reading, and trying to be active in Native culture. There are also plenty of tribes in the state that I live in. A few weeks ago, I was asking my dad about the tribes around here and asking if there was a possibility that skinwalkers could be up here. He kinda avoided the question, but did tell me that a tribe up north was notorious for murders, both by members and unexplained ones. I tried seeing if I could get any more answers from him, but he would not give up anything else. Now, time for the actual encounters. Both my sister and I have experienced them the most, but my brother has also had some unexplained scratching and whispering at night. It was rare, but it did happen. The encounter started at the beginning of the summer in 2017. Now, my sister and I share a room. She's always been scared of the dark, so being the nice big brother I am, I have shared a room with her. Anyways, it was around maybe 11 p.m. when I and my sister heard a weird sound. It sounded like a bird call, but definitely not normal. It sounded like someone with strep throat was trying to mimic a crow. Both me and my sister kinda just looked up from our phones and gave each other a weird look. We live in an apartment complex that's located on the edge of a small town. The town is a druggy town, so for like the first hour, We thought it was just some druggie outside tripping out, but it lasted about 3 hours or so, only ending around 2 a.m. My sister had fallen asleep and everything was quiet, but then I heard the big dogs down the road start barking like crazy. I thought it was just some weird timing or they saw an animal, but looking back, I think it might have been the first time this skinwalker visited me. A few weeks go by, and the same sound starts at around 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., and would usually end at around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. At first, I and my sister didn't really pay attention to it, and eventually thought it was actually a weird bird. But one night, I had slept over at my friend's house, which was a trailer on the edge of the town right near mine. I and my friend were just about to fall asleep on the couches when I heard that same sound. I sat straight up and looked at my friend. "You heard that, right?" I asked her, thinking it was imaginary. "Yeah, it sounded like a bird. Why?" she told me back, probably thinking I was crazy. "Oh, it's nothing. I just hear that a lot." I replied back. If I told her, she probably would have not believed me, but I just tried to make it seem like nothing. That night, the sound lasted until I fell asleep. Fast forward another week, and we're hearing the same sounds at night still. My sister now was starting to get paranoid. I was too, but I just told her it was nothing, just a dumb bird. At this point, in the summer, I was listening to lots of skinwalker stories and started connecting their similarities to what was happening to me. One night, my sister and I were just chilling in our beds with our window open when the noises started up again. This time, they sounded more ragged and sick. They stopped pretty quickly after they started. I and my sister just shrugged at each other. We went back to our phones when suddenly right next to our window we hear the most blood-curdling scream. It wasn't human. It sounded like a baby screams crossed with a dog yelping. With that sound ringing in our ears, me and my sister both jumped and screamed, hiding under her covers. I honestly hid under my covers as well. With my heart racing, we waited for what seemed like hours until my sister whisper yelled at me, asking if it was safe. I had to put my big boy pants on and uncover to close the window. I did so rather quickly. When I got to the window, nothing was there. My sister wanted to tell our parents, but I knew they would not believe us. The next day, though, I had asked if they had heard anything, which they said they hadn't. I brought this stuff up to my three friends one night while having a sleepover. At first, most of them thought it was a joke, but then I explained how I felt I was always being followed and having a sense of dread 24/7. They seemed to believe me, and I told them that I thought something had followed me and was even following me to their houses. What freaked us all out was that night, my friend's dog started barking and growling like crazy. Afterward, one of my friends had remarked, "Why did we become friends with a Native American?" It made us laugh and calm the atmosphere for the rest of the night. Back home, my sister had told me that the noises stopped while I was gone, which pretty much had confirmed to me that it was indeed following me. Constantly now, I was feeling dread and couldn't sleep at night. That scream ringing in my ears and the sound outside increasing each night, sounding more and more sickly. As I said, this had been lasting all summer, so eventually we got used to it. Sometimes it sounded like there was more than one, but as long as it didn't get worse, we didn't care. At my friend's house, it was still the same, paranoid about seeing it, but even walking my dogs at night freaked me out because their gaze would fixate on something in the tree line, just outside of my sight. They wouldn't bark or anything, just stare, then start sprinting towards home. I'd follow, gripping the leash so they wouldn't get away. It really freaked me out. One night, I caught a glimpse of it through the curtain rack. The noise had gotten closer. Me and my sister were prepared to hear another one of those terrible screams, but no. I looked out the window as the wind blew in. I saw what I believe was the skinwalker. It looked so sickly and thin, its eyes sunken, and its face looked like it was scowling. I just stared at it until the curtain moved back and then it was gone. The dread had filled me even more. After that, we heard less and less. Toward the end of summer, we heard it again, and I decided to record the sound, but I guess I forgot to actually hit the record button, because I can't find it on my device. I wish there was a way to be able to not have these technical difficulties. Everything has died down recently, though. I still have a constant feeling of dread, though, and I'm more and more paranoid by the week. It's all just super freaky and weird. I'm already kind of paranoid as it is, but this is all too weird, and it can't just be a coincidence. I just hope it stops, and I'd love to get a good night's sleep. When I was younger, I preferred to spend time at my great-grandmother's house rather than my own. Being right next door, my grandmother would often let me spend the night with my great-grandparents to get me out of her hair. My grandparents had their own bedroom on one end of the house, and on the other end was the room which I slept in whenever I visited. This bedroom was big to a 6 or 7 year old, with a large bed that had sliding glass door cabinets for a headboard, and 2 large windows, one of which had a crate of toys for it, mostly building blocks and the like, that faced the side yard, which had several young pine trees. The other window faced the large barn out back that housed their camper and all manners of other things. Before I continue, I ought to mention that I'm a quarter Native American of the Miama tribe, to be specific. My mother was adopted by a family whose heritage was distinctly French. While my grandmother wanted my mother and I to have nothing to do with our heritage, my great-grandmother embraced it, but never kept it from us, and even taught us a little bit about it. Me far less than my mother, since I was way too young to understand much before she passed. One night when I was sleeping over at my great-grandma's house, I woke up when the motion-detecting floodlight on the barn out the back turned on. The room was flooded with light, and I could see everything was clear. Unable to go back to sleep, I got up and decided to play with the blocks until the floodlight went out, and I could go back to sleep. For some reason, I felt the strange urge to look out the window into the side yard, so I climbed up on the crate under the window and peered out. There, in the side yard, was a man. He was in his late teens, 17 to 19, with neatly cut straight black hair, nearly ear length. He wasn't dark-skinned, but he wasn't white either. He wore what looked like tan Carhartt overalls and appeared to be examining a young pine tree not 15 feet from the window. The tree wasn't very tall, maybe 8 or 9 feet, but the young man was carefully moving the bottom branches this way and that, as if looking for something. I watched him for a minute or two, simply observing. I didn't feel frightened. Rather, I was curious. Then the young man lifted his head and looked around. When he saw me, the strangest thing happened. He looked startled, almost terrified. His eyes widened so far that I could make out their whites in the low light. There is no other way to explain what occurred after that, other than the crazy sounding. He turned into a deer and bolted away into the darkness. He simply turned to his left, dropped to all fours, and was a deer by the time that he would have hit his hands on the ground. He ran off, beyond the barn, where I couldn't see. I don't remember the conversation I had with my grandmother about this in the morning, only that she seemed upset and was tight-lipped, and that she, my great-grandfather, went out to look for that exact tree later that day. They didn't find anything, and my grandfather didn't want to hear about it anymore, so I shrugged it off. Years later, I would learn what skinwalkers are. I would think back to the young man and how he could have been a skinwalker, how his overalls could have been deerskin. I would also think that my experience didn't line up with other skinwalker encounters. I didn't feel any fear. I didn't notice a stench, and no one called my name. Also, the young man seemed to be afraid of me. Then again, I suppose if I were looking for something and I saw a small child staring at me at a window, I'd probably be pretty freaked out too. As time went on, I had for the most part convinced myself that I had just happened to have witnessed a teen boy hunting illegally in our property, and my startling him startled the deer he was after, and my child brain just processed it strangely. That is until I decided to bring up the concept of skinwalkers to my mother. I had told her about what I could have possibly seen one day when I was a child. When she said, "Oh, you saw the Birdman too, huh?" My belief that I misremembered a teen boy hunting shattered. She wouldn't say much about it when I seemed confused, simply stating, "Oh, there was an old balding man who would dance around the roof with his belt made of feathers, and when I would go out there to yell at him for being so loud, he'd smile at me and fly off like a bird." Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true skinwalker stories sent in by viewers just like you. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not trying to run into any of these creatures, and if something's tapping on my window, I'm sending bullets back at it. Anyways, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a skinwalker story or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that helps keep this show going. If you enjoyed these stories, hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, on all things natural and supernatural. You can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts online. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this without you guys. And I'll see you soon with another creepy video.